This is Artcore, your gateway to the fine arts in Christchurch.
This is Ed, and I'm down here at the Christchurch Arts Gallery, and I'm talking to Dennis O'Connor, and I'm in the middle of your exhibition space here. And what's this work called?
The Gorse King.
The Gorse King?
The Gorse King.
And why is that?
Why are you Ed?
There's a lot of things that are best not answered.
Well, you know, the gorse is a feature in kind of my childhood. I grew up in kind of gorse lands, you know, cleared country that gorse started to blossom in. So,
as it does.
I grew up in one of these state house enclaves in the kind of on the fringes of the city, and there was nothing there except a few bare state houses and a lot of gorse. So I think the Gorse King, you know, kind of resonates with that time.
So at the moment it's kind of in a half completed state, what does it look like? How can you describe it to you know, what happens when it's all complete?
Well, it's about nine. It's first of all, it's made out of North Otago limestone from Mahino.
Yeah,
and it was a demolition material that I found in a demolition yard in Dunedin in 1985, and all this material came from the Caversham Gasworks in South Dunedin. So it's kind of like it's had several kind of reincarnations. This material.
Was that as just as big blocks of stone?
Big blocks, almost a ton blocks, meter and a half long, 800 square, huge blocks, $10 each. So I recycle, you know.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Well, you wouldn't be able to find it for that price these days, would you?
No way. So actually, finding those blocks determined a lot of the work I did during that period from 1985 until the early 90s, and. I had to go to Dunedin. I'm an Aucklander.
Yes.
I'm from the Hauraki Gulf. We don't have stone up there like this, but the South Island obviously has a magnificent architectural tradition using this North Otago limestone. And going to Dunedin introduced me to this tradition and the material. So, you know, as Hoskins Fellow, I did a show that was my first works with this material, Branches from the Wishing Tree. It was like 14 individual sculptures, floor works. And then I thought, why not make somehow floor works where all the component bits were essentially a narrative, like tableau. So I did two major commissioned tableaus, one for the Auckland City Art Gallery, The Birdman and the Engineer, and this one, The Gorse King, which was 33 pieces. The Birdman and the Engineer, I think, was 23.
And so this was commissioned by the Robert McDougall,
yeah. So it was, and it was commissioned for their old gallery, which was down in the Botanical Gardens, yeah. And it was a site-specific commissioned work to resonate with the centre court, which was quite an ornate kind of atrium space in the centre of the gallery, with natural lighting, with quite ornate classical architectural motifs, mm-hmm. within the architecture. So some of the forms in this work resonate with the architectural features, yeah, from that building.
Okay.
So installing this in a building, a more minimalist building, with none of those architectural resonances, means that this work has a lot of, you know, there's a lot of other conversations that will be going on with it. So.
And is there something else that's accompanying the work as well?
There are three other artists whose work has some threads back into this whole idea of what history and time might be. Mm-hmm. And, you know, each of those individual artists deal with time and the passage of time, and you know, before, now, and tomorrow. In some
do
way.
You? So this is a work that you created 15 years ago?
Nearly 20 years ago.
And how does it feel to kind of bring it out and put it into a new space, you know, that long after you first created it?
Very bizarre. It's almost as if, you know, meeting one of your children again 20 years later and, like, being flabbergasted at kind of the way their features have, you know, evolved and the sound of their voice or the length of their hair. So it's a little bit like that. And there was a time when, you know, for 10 years after I made this work, I probably didn't want to know about it ever again. But, you know, as time goes on, you learn to re-embrace your kind of early life. And I suppose that's what this experience of installing this work again is.
So wounds are healing?
I'm still bleeding in places, you know. But, yeah, most artists just like to move on, you know. Like, I find it very, very hard. You know, I don't dwell on my back catalogue. You know, it's really all about kind of the work I'm making right now. And I prefer my back catalogue to almost be invisible. You know, it's not something I ever really think about very much. So, yeah, it's, and because of the scale of this work, it's probably the biggest floor piece I made. You know, it's pretty monumental. I don't know where I got the stamina to do it. I wouldn't ever kind of entertain the idea of making like a work like this now. You know, like the physical labour of doing work like this was like enormous. It took nearly a year to make it.
So are there things that you see in this and think, oh, that was kind of clever. How did I do that?
I did most of it. I had actually models there, you know, so everything you see here, like from the torch, the camera, the railway lines, I had the model there in front of me. So I went out and found a railway track and modelled. You know, I tried to make everything actually faithful to kind of, you know, the thing itself, all but given it, you know, enlarged the scale. But yeah, essentially the torch was the one I grew up with, little chrome torch, quick torch. The camera was my first camera, little box camera. And so, you know, there were things that had resonance, you know, kind of my generation's life too. Because obviously kids with digital cameras would not know what that box brownie in fact was, you know. Yeah. So it sort of dates the piece in that sense.
Yes. But also the pieces, you know, when you constructed it, were probably already dated, and you know, railways were already dated.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a fossil almost.
Yeah, well, you know, what the reason that this material interested me, this limestone, is that it contains fossilized marine animals and tiny creatures. So the material itself is actually kind of almost like has a museum kind of dimension to it. So, you know, the whole thing about the material has a memory. So, and this work really does explore aspects of kind of what memory might be, you know, what is memory and how does it function and things like that. So, I mean, there were a lot of, you know, densely layered kind of conceptual ideas going on in this work. And, but somebody like Sean just mentioned, you know, that Helen Clark is coming to the gallery next week, and the fact that the railways has suddenly become an issue in our culture again, and that, you know, we're all for rail now. This work might have some special resonance for her, yeah, you know. Yeah. I would not have been able to plan that, yeah, even when I made the work. So works of art can work quite kind of mysteriously, yeah, and have their own life, and somehow they continue to pop up. Their relevance pops up, yeah, and I like that.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Because when I first went to Central Otago and saw, you know, the remains of some of our regional railway tracks, which was one of the primary formative experiences behind this work, I was lamenting the absence of these rails now, where you could go out into places like Central Otago, you know, on, you know, terrific day trips from Dunedin, all that died, you know, and so it's funny, you know, it's coming, it's having a contemporary life again, let's say.
Yeah. Thanks for talking to me, Dennis. And the exhibition starts about the 23rd of May.
This is ArtCore, proudly brought to you by the Christchurch Art Gallery. Stay tuned for the ArtCore Art Guide.